Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things of heaven, and of things in earth, and of things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Once again, good morning. We are glad that you are here, honored with your presence as always. Want to invite you back, as was mentioned by Brother Brad in our announcements, it being the fourth Sunday of the month. We will meet tonight a regular time of 5:30 for a period of singing. I hope to see all of you back. And man, if you always want to lead a song, but you just never have, we'd let you do that tonight, and we'd love to do that. That will be tonight at 5:30. And in conjunction with that, as time's permitting, we're going to pick back up in the book of Hebrews tonight, as we've been looking at things that happened seven times in Hebrews, and we'll look at seven titles of Christ, and that will be tonight during our singing service. It is glad to be back. Sarah and I enjoyed a nice weekend getaway to Knoxville last weekend. We were worshiping with the Carnes congregation, where the used to be Knoxville School of Preaching. Now it's Southeastern Institute of Biblical Studies, but her grandfather preached there a long time ago. So it was nice to get away, but I'm glad to be back. Why? Because we're going to look at one of my favorite passages found in the book of Philippians this morning, as we talk about a sermon that is entitled "The Mind of Christ." Now, when we're comparing the likeness of a father and a son, you may have heard a statement like this: like father, like son. Or, he's a chip off the old block. You've heard those. You may have even used those at times. And to say this is to declare more or less that the son is like a copy, a reproduction, or a replica of the father. Now, the son is not the father, but the son comes off of close enough that maybe people might even get them a little confused. They like the same things. They have the same values. They wear the same kind of clothing. They may even swap clothing, depending on who they are. Like father, like son. When Paul writes to those in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me as I follow Christ." Paul says, I don't want you to follow Paul because I'm Paul. Paul says, follow me, Paul, because I'm following him. That is Christ. Brethren, we are informed of the need that we as Christians need to imitate Christ. We need to be a chip off the cornerstone. That is Christ. We need to be a replica of Christ. Why? Because Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:22 through 25 that Jesus is our perfect example. Our perfect example that we are to follow. Brethren, we need to follow Christ. Here in our lesson text of Philippians 2, 5 through verse 11, Paul tells us that we need to, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we need to do our best to think as Jesus Christ thought. And in this context, Paul's going to tell us three things that we need to do in order to have the mind of Christ. It's a simply laid out sermon. We're going to stay primarily in Philippians 2. We will jump around a little bit, but I think we can benefit from it because Paul tells us that we can. One side note that I love about the letter to those at Philippi, 4 short chapters, it's not a long read, but Paul is in prison as he writes this, and so that's why he can rejoice. But Paul knows that they need to know something, and he wants them to have this mind of Christ. Let's look at our lesson text. Let's look at our sermon this morning. First and foremost, if we want to have the mind of Christ Jesus, it's a mind of sacrifice. The mind of Christ, it is a mind of sacrifice. Keep going there, verses 6 and 7. Who, that's Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Brethren, do you realize that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sacrificed the blessings of heaven for us? You realize that he was in heaven before he came down to earth. This is given example many ways. My favorite is in Genesis chapter 1, because God says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." God is speaking in the plural form. And even if you go back to Hebrew and you look at the word God, it is a plural form of the name of God, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three are there in heaven. And it had been that way forever. And then God sends his Son to this earth. Now, the King James says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." But the English Standard renders it this way: "Jesus counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped." Jesus didn't have a single problem with it, the fact that he's equal with God, because they're two of the three members of the Godhead. He's identical. They have different roles, but they are identical. But notice, he made himself of no reputation. Jesus left the comforts of heaven and came down as a servant for us. Put your hold your place there in Philippians. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, because, spoiler alert, he did not have to leave. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. The Hebrew writer is talking about the role of the high priest in the Old Testament. And now he says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Brethren, Jesus Christ didn't have to come here, but he did. So when we pray to him and we say, "Jesus, I'm just having a rough spot in life because everybody that I love has left me. Everybody that I love is making fun of me. Everywhere I go, people are wishing my shame and my destruction." And he can say, "I know. They did that to me too." And when we say, "Jesus, I was tempted with this," he can say, "Well, I was tempted, but yet he didn't sin. That's what makes him perfect." He didn't have to come down to heaven, but he did, so he can better understand us when we pray to him. Brethren, Jesus sacrificed his own life for us. He left the perfection of heaven to come down to earth. I'm going to say that again. Heaven is the place that we all want to go, and I know that because we're here this morning. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here. So I have a good feeling that you want to go to heaven. Jesus left the place that we want to go to come here. Why? Because he loved us. Brethren, and he took on that cross, the trial, and the scourging, and being up there and having everybody laughing at him and mocking at him and cursing at him and spitting at him. Agony for 3 hours. He hung upon that cross because he loved us. Let's go to the book of John now. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Look what Jesus says. "Therefore, does my Father love me? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus Christ had the power to give his life and his power to come back to life. And that's example upon the cross. And we'll look at that more in a minute. But we see he had that mind of sacrifice. And so to have the mind of Christ, brethren, we must be willing to sacrifice some things. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and the first two verses. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul starts what I think is the to-do chapter for a Christian. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," watch this, "a living sacrifice. That's holy, that's acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world or this culture, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. What does Paul say in the first verse? We are to do to be pleasing unto God. Present your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice. Now normally when we think of sacrifice, we think of something that's dead. But here Paul says alive, that means we need to live our lives in a way that we are sacrificing things for God. We must be willing to sacrifice the pleasures of the world. Maybe sacrifice family. Maybe sacrifice friends. Maybe sacrifice your social standing in life. Jesus Christ says so pointedly in Matthew 16:26, what shall it profit a man, you know the verse, if he gain the whole world and he lose his soul? If you've gained the whole world but you've lost your soul, you have missed the whole picture. Now, is it easy to give up some of these things? Some of these things would be very easy. Some of them are a little bit harder. But Jesus Christ says, if you don't despise your father and your mother and your brother and your sister and your spouse and your family and this, that, and other, if you don't do that, if you don't put me above them, you can't be my disciple. And then he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Brethren, to have the mind of Christ, we must be willing to sacrifice. Now, he sacrificed it all. We must be willing to sacrifice as well. Secondly, this morning, to have the mind of Christ, we must have a mind of humility. We must have a mind of humility. And that's found in the first part of Philippians 2 and verse 8. Philippians 2 and 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Put a pin there, we're going to come back to it. Being found in fashion or as a makeup, as a man, he humbled himself. When Jesus took on the form of a human being, the form of a man, it would be as a comparison today as if we took on the form of a worm. And we're thinking, boy, that's a little harsh. Now I think it's song number 3 in our songbook, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? Would he devote that sacred head for what? For such a worm as I. That's kind of the great comparison there. He came to this earth to be like us. We're just worms. We're nothing, really. But there's significance in that word, humbled. In the Greek, the word is T-A-P-E-I-N-O-O, or tapenou. You have to know that, get into heaven. But I do want you to know that that word literally means tapenou, T-A-P-E-I-N-O-O, to make low, or to bring to the ground, or almost to bow forward. And I think what may be the most translatable English word would be humiliation. Because Jesus was humiliated. They mocked him. They put a purple robe and a crown of thorns and they pushed it on his head and they said, Hail, hail, the King of the Jews. That's humiliation. And they dishonored him. And they disgraced him. And that all happened when he took the form of man. Brethren, our Lord suffered that humiliation on a daily basis. Now, it wasn't always as extreme there as right before the cross. But he suffered that because he was in heaven. And now he's here on earth. Brethren, have you ever been humiliated? Let's go to James chapter 4 and verse 10. We're going to see that word humble again. James 4 and verse 10. James says to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And there's a promise. And he will what? Lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord is a song that's frequently sung at devotionals, at Bible camps. And it drives that point home. We need to humble ourselves and what? To lift us up. We bow down before God, we become stronger. We become stronger. Let's see what Luke says in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 11. Luke 14 and 11, Jesus says, For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So Jesus is talking about those that go out to seek to make themselves all high and mighty, and they're brought low. But those that make themselves low will be brought up. They'll be exalted. Brethren, we would learn a great deal about humility from Jesus Christ. Also, we must accept humiliation. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. Acts chapter 5, 41. You may have said, or you may have heard somebody say, well, you know, it's just, they had it bad in the first century. They did. But they had a better attitude about it. Look at Acts chapter 5 with me, please, in verse number 41. And they departed from the presence of the council. Period. End of sentence, right? No, there's a comma. Keep going. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Who is His? That is Christ. What's that name? Christian. Brethren, there were Christians in the first century who had left the council and they were being mocked and said, you cannot preach, you cannot teach the name of Jesus. And they went out the doors rejoicing. Why? Because they were Christians and they could go out and preach and teach Jesus. Let's see what Paul says to those at Rome in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says, for I reckon, makes me think Paul might be from around here. Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory shall be revealed in us. See what Paul's saying here? Paul's saying, yes, we may be suffering here, but what we suffer here does not compare to the glory that's in heaven. And Jesus Christ knew that when He humbled Himself, when He learned humility, because He came from heaven down here. And He knew that He was going to go back up to heaven. Brethren, if we want to have the mind of Christ, we need to have sacrifice, and then we need to have humility. But lastly this morning, sacrifice, humility, we need to be obedient. We must be obedient to God's Word. Go back to Philippians 2. Let's pick up verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Brethren, Jesus Christ had a mind of obedience because He allowed Himself to die on the cross for our sins. Let's go to the book of John. I want to show you four passages in John that prove that He had a mind of obedience. We're going to start in John chapter 4 and verse 34. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Look what Jesus said. He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Who's His? Who's Him? That is God. He says, my meat, my daily sustenance is to do the will of God. Obedience is what Jesus hungered and what Jesus thirsted for. That's His very reason for being. Remember what He said? One of the first Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, blessed is he which hunger and thirst after righteousness, he'll be filled. He is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Let's go on to another one in John chapter 6 and verse 38. John 6 and 38, here's a mind of obedience. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Jesus didn't say, I came down here because I wanted to see the seven wonders of the ancient world. He didn't say, I came down here because I always had wanted to go to Rome. I'd always wanted to go to, I always wanted to do this. He says, I came down here to do what God told me to do. He was always concerned with doing the will of the Father. He was not concerned with what he wanted, but what God wanted. Let's go to John 17 now. That beautiful prayer that he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays it three times. He's praying so profusely that he actually breaks some blood vessels there in the top of his head, and he actually starts sweating blood. And in John 17 and 4, he says, I have glorified thee, that is God on earth. He says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The entire time Jesus was on the earth, he was pointing glory to God the Father. He did not leave the Father's work undone. One more passage is in John chapter 19 and verse 30. John 19 and 30, and if your Bible is a red letter edition where it puts the words of Christ in red, we're just going to read those three words that are in red, because that's the gist of this. What does he say in John 19 and 30? It is finished. Where is Jesus? He's hanging on the cross. He's been there for 3 hours. These are the last words he says. He says a total of 7 sayings from the cross, but this is it. When he says it is finished, the Bible says he bowed his head and he gives up the ghost, or Jesus Christ dies on that cross. What did he pray to the Father in John 17 and verse 4? It says, I have finished what you told me to do. Then what happens in John 19 and 30? He says, it is finished. Brethren, watch this. Jesus Christ would not even let death keep him from obeying the Father. In fact, dying is what he had to do to be obedient. What would it take to keep us from being obedient? I hope it's nothing. Brethren, we must, that's in all capital letters in my notes and it's underlined, we must have a mind of obedience. Go back to Hebrews with me if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. The Hebrew writer says, though he were a son, talking about Christ, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Brethren, Jesus Christ became perfect in his obedience. We must be obedient if we want to be saved. If you don't be saved, don't obey Christ. Don't obey God. If you want to be saved, if you don't want to go to hell, you need to obey what Christ has said. Let's go to another passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, starting in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, Paul says, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of God. Of his power. Brethren, punishment awaits those who disobey what God has said to do. Could there be a better reason to have the mind of Christ, to be obedient, than to know there is punishment that awaits those that don't obey? But one more passage on this thought is found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John 3:22, as if the fact that punishment awaits those that are disobedient isn't enough to motivate you. Look at 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. And those things are pleasant in his sight. Brethren, there are rewards for obeying. You're punished if you don't obey, and you're rewarded if you obey. Rewards in this life, but more importantly, rewards in the life to come. Brethren, Christ had that mindset of obedience. But we are at a point, but we still have 3 verses to look at. So quickly go back with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, because we're going to see what is the end result of having a mind of sacrifice, a mind of humility, and a mind of obedience. Watch this. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Father exalted Jesus. And in the end, everyone will know that Jesus is the Christ, and they will give him glory. But brethren, sadly, I want you to hear this. Sadly, for many people, it will be too late. You have 2 options. You can either bow down and acknowledge him now, willingly, of your own accord, or be forced to on the day of judgment. And you can't do a thing about it then. That's serious. Brethren, if we have the mind of Christ, we will be exalted. The mind of Christ is sacrifice. It's humility. It's obedience. Do you have the mind of Christ? Are you willing to sacrifice the things of the world? Are you willing to submit yourself to Him? Are you willing to be obedient? Brethren, our invitation song is entitled Only a Step. And that's what it takes to get you either started on the right track or back on the right track. It's just a step out the center or the side and then coming forward. To be obedient the first time to God, you have to obey the gospel. The whole reason Christ was here was to set it up. You hear, you believe, you repent, you confess, and you're baptized. Go down that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you have not done that this morning, let us plead and beg with you. Why not? If you have, keep going. Keep remaining faithful in death. The last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, promises us a crown of life if we're faithful to the end. But you have to be faithful. If sin is into your life, why not come back and want to take the step, repent of those sins, and leave in a right relationship with God? Have that mind of Christ. Verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. If we can help you in any way at all, just let it be known while we stand and while we sing.